Meantime, we'll learn tonight tonight Siman Samech, along the same lines about Yom Kudat HaShana, about a yard site. He says, Ayim Efsar Laset Yidei Minhag Hadlakat HaNer Shal Yom Kudat HaShana Al Aviv O Imo B'Ner Chashmali. We have a practice to light a candle for the Azkara. Can you light an electronic candle? Can you use light? Do you have to light a specific candle? So first he says, where does this idea of lighting a candle come from? And it's hinted at somewhat, sort of, maybe, in the Gemara in Brachot Daf Nun Gimel. The Gemara in Brachot Daf Nun Gimel is talking about Hadlakat HaNer on Motzei Shabbat. When you use a candle for Motzei Shabbat for Boreh Me'orei HaEsh, it has to be a Ner that was lit B'Chedei La'ir. It has to be a candle that was lit for the purpose of providing light. Why else would you light a candle than providing light? I mean, nowadays, I don't know why you're lighting candles. But back in the day, why are you lighting a candle other than providing light? So the Gemara says, maybe you're lighting a candle Mishum Kavod. Somebody's coming to visit, they lit candles. Or, Ner Shel Meitim, the Gemara says. A candle of dead people. Why do dead people need a candle? So the Gemara says, Mesh Mosim Lefanev Ner Bayom Uvalayla. That before, that when they were moving the dead body, they light a candle. Rashi says, Kol Meshu Adam Chashuv, Mosim Lefanev Ner Bayom Lechvodo. So you have a candle, they light it even during the day. You see, it's not for light. If you light it during the day, it's clearly not for light. If for some other reason, that's not a candle that's good for, that's not a candle that's good for Borei Moraesh and Havdalah. Okay, but that's a little bit different. That's a candle that you're lighting when the body is there. That's when the body is there. This has nothing to do with Yom Kippur HaShana, but you see that candles have something to do with passing away. And this is a practice that we still do nowadays. The Chavar Kaddisha, when someone passes away in the home, so we will tell them until the funeral home comes to take the body, so light a candle in that room. Supposed to light a candle in that room, based on its Mara. We light a candle in that room. But you sort of see a somewhat connection. And the Orchot Chaim writes, quoting Rabbeinu Asher, Noagim shekol echad madlik ner be'erev Yom HaKippurim lechaper al aviv ve'imo. On Erev Yom Kippur, everybody lights a candle in memory of their father and mother. Why? Because it's kavod, because it says, Ba'orim kavdu Hashem. Uminag Yisrael Torah, Ba'orim kavdu Hashem is the phrase that we play off the first slichot of Kol Nidrei, right? That first thing, Yishtachavu, Mishtachavim Lahadar Kodesh, okay, whatever. That first section is a play on this on these psukim. So he says, you see that they light this candle, Ilui Neshama, on Lel Yom HaKippurim. He doesn't quote a source for that. He quotes Rabbeinu Asher. That seems to be, he gets Minhag Yisrael Torahu. That's what's done. And then they continue Mikan Nahagu also for the earth site. From there you see that whenever there's this idea of Aliyat Neshama, we also light a candle on the Yom Kippur HaShana, on the earth site also, based on this loose idea. Okay, but how important is it? So the Maharshal goes so far as to say as follows. Let's say somebody has the earth site on Shabbat for their parents, and they forgot to light a candle. So we know that when does Shabbat begin? So we begin Shabbat when the sun sets. Why? We want to be careful, but really, really, Shabbat starts sometime after that. We just don't know when. There's a period between sunset and Seita Kochavim that we call Ben HaShmashot. Ben HaShmashot is Safek Yom Safek Laila. It's a doubtful period since we don't know. We treat it like Shabbat. You got to be careful. You have to treat it like Shabbat. Maybe it's Shabbat. So we treat it like Shabbat, we begin Shabbat. At the latest, when the sun sets, we begin Shabbat. That said, that period of Ben HaShmashot is still a period of Safek for the Mishnah. At the end of Bamei Madlikin points out, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do certain things that are L'Tzarech Mitzvah during that time. Normally on Shabbat, you can't ask a non-Jew to do something that you cannot do. That's called Amira L'Nochri, just like I can't light a candle on Shabbat. I cannot ask a non-Jew to light a candle for me on Shabbat. But L'Tzarech Mitzvah, Bein HaShmashot, during that period, I can ask a non-Jew to do something with L'Tzarech Mitzvah. The Maharshal writes, lighting such a candle during that time is considered to be L'Tzarech Mitzvah, even though it's not really Mitzvah. It's a nice idea. It's a beautiful thing. Maharshal says it's important enough to do that. Based on this, the Tshuvat Nachal Shiva says, not only do you light it then, you also light it the whole Shiva. The whole time that someone's sitting Shiva, you light a candle. He says, and even if Yom Tov interrupts the Shiva, right? So if someone's sitting Shiva for 2 or 3 days, and then it's all of a sudden Shavuot, so Shavuot ends the Shiva. He says, you leave the candle for 7 days. Even though the Shiva has ended, you leave the candle for 7 days. very interesting. It's based on this an idea in the Sefer Ma'avar Yavok. He has a whole mystical explanation of why that's necessary. Why he says you need a candle by a person who's dying, someone who's alive, and by someone who just died, and by Shiva, and by Azkara, and he gives a whole mystical explanation for it, what it accomplishes. Rav Adya points out this is true irrelevant of where the person died. Meaning if you just go back to the Gemara Brachot, the Gemara Brachot says where the person is. So if someone dies in the hospital, so then what does that have to do with lighting a candle at home? Nonetheless, that's the practice. We light a candle at home even where Shiva is being set. And therefore we consider this to be it's not exactly a mitzvah. It's not exactly a requirement, but it happens to be Minhag Yisrael. But you don't find anywhere it says, oh, you must like this type, you must like that type. That we don't see. We don't see a certain requirement that it needs to be X, Y, or Z. Now, yes, if you look, I'm not going to pretend that I understood. I looked up the Ma'avar book, and he's quoting all these very mystical things, some having to do with the flame, some having to do with the word ner, some having to do with the word ish, which sounds like you need to have a ner and an ish, otherwise the whole thing falls apart. So what about an electric candle? So it gets back to the issue of electric, I mean the light bulb. How are we going to define electricity? Do we really think about electricity as fire? It's very hard to consider electricity to be fire. Meaning it's very controlled, it's very different, and it would depend on which light bulb you're using. Certainly not these. These are LEDs. They don't even get hot. But if you had an incandescent bulb where you had the filament on top that's burning, so maybe, so there's a Shabbat Beit Yitzchak that says that's considered to be ish. He's the one famously said that's ish. That's not tremendously accepted by the poskim. But okay, most of the poskim write, you want to be yotzei with the candle, with electric, that's fine. Rav Adya writes, what are you going to do? Apparently, an hag was to light shemen zayit, to light olive oil in shul. He says, and what is going to happen? You're going to light it in shul, and it's going to bother this guy, the smell, and this guy, the smoke, and it's going to dirty the ceiling, mm-hmm. And someone's going to have to clean it up. You're not going to, better, you know what you should do? Sponsor the electricity in the room for the learning. Ah, you'll pay for the electricity at night, you'll fulfill the mitzvah of having light, and people will learn, and the zchut of their learning will be in the Eretz Nesama. That's even better. It doesn't bother anybody, it doesn't offend anybody, there's no smell, there's no smoke. People are learning Torah. No one's going to be able to, even if you light a candle in shul, no one's going to be able to learn Torah to your candle. That's not how we do anything more. No one needs your candle to learn Torah. Turn on the light. So he says, in the end of the day, that certainly you can fulfill the minhag with light, with sponsoring electric lights, with lighting electric lights. He says, even better to do it by a Shiur Torah, better to do it in the Beit Knesset. Pray for all the lights in the Beit Knesset that night. Some places do that. They allow you to sponsor the electricity that night. Seems like a funny thing. Why can't you just sponsor the, sponsor the learning? Why dafka the electricity? Because that way you can fulfill this minhag of doing it l'ilui neshama. You want to also light a yahrzeit candle at home, matov u'manaim, if you can, but the Rav Adya seems to argue that this would be even better. Because now you're enabling the tzibur to learn to write, you're enabling the tzibur to have tefillah. That's the best aliyat neshama that you could have.